Hello and welcome to Pandora's Box. This is Kalia. And the topic of our episode today is everybody has a dark side. I often hear people say he really has a dark side. And a better way of saying this might be he has a really dark side, because the truth is we all have a dark side. We live in a world of duality. And this means we have good, bad, light, dark, hot, cold, big, little, happy, sad. Most of us would love to live in a world of good, light, warm, grand, and happy. But right now, where we are in our human evolution, we need to still navigate through life's great challenges and an array of dark emotions. Emotions in and of themselves are not dark. They're not negative. It's that there are emotions we don't like to feel because they don't feel good. We like to feel good. We want to be happy all the time. But this isn't the reality that we live in. All of our emotions need to be embraced and welcomed. Emotions themselves are not bad or destructive. It's what we do with our emotions that make them bad or destructive. When we suppress or repress emotions, they come out in unconscious ways. But when we develop awareness of our darker emotions, we can learn how to be with them in healthy ways. Our dark side, otherwise known as the shadow, is our emotional aspect that remains hidden in our subconscious mind. It contains everything we've ever seen, heard, or experienced in our lifetime, as early as in the womb. And this includes both the happy and the sad, the traumatic and the blissful. The happy and the blissful memories usually don't get stuffed away because they aren't painful to feel. As children, we have this coping mechanism where when something is really painful and we don't have the emotional support to deal with it, we check out or dissociate from the feelings. Where do they go when we dissociate? Well, they go into the subconscious, into the painful memory storage facility, also known as the pain body. The more painful memories get stored in the subconscious, the more this aspect takes on a life of its own. We might not be aware of why we lash out at others, or why we're angry or frustrated all the time, why we judge others harshly, why we feel so small and insignificant, why our confidence is low, why we have so much fear, why we continue to make destructive choices, self-sabotage, or pick one bad relationship after another. Many people don't even question the why. They're simply angry, destructive, or insecure. Some may realize there's a problem and even decide to go to a counselor to figure out why they're so unhappy and insecure. But often the counselor will ask about your childhood, and if you actually remember it accurately, you may make a connection between certain life events from your formative years and the way you're feeling right now. But making the connection isn't enough to change how you feel, as many of you know. The only way to truly change how you feel is to set out on a journey to embrace your darker emotions and allow them to show you what remains hidden in your shadow. This is a path of embracing your dark side, loving it, and not judging it as bad or wrong. When we judge our dark side as bad or wrong, we naturally try to push it away. And when we do this, it just gets stronger. I like to think of it as pushing a beach ball underwater and holding it there. It takes a whole lot more energy to hold a beach ball underwater than allowing it to pop up. When it rises to the surface, you can deal with it and it loses power. But when you spend an enormous amount of energy pushing uncomfortable or painful feelings down, it becomes a full-time job holding those taboo emotions or dark memories underwater. It can be challenging at first when we make the commitment to face our shadow or allow what's hidden to come to light. Because all the pain that we've been sitting on for ages begins to rise up, as it naturally wants to do, to be felt and then released. We get into the habit of pushing painful emotions down so we don't have to feel them. We don't want to feel them because they don't feel good. Tony Robbins always talks about how it's our human nature to avoid pain and seek pleasure. This means it is our nature to run from the shadow. And we have all kinds of sophisticated coping mechanisms and addictions that help us to repress the dark within us. Since it's our nature to avoid pain, it goes against our nature to invite that pain to come to the surface so we can feel it and thereby heal it. We need to be able to feel the feelings in order to heal them. But most people don't know how to feel their feelings. They're conditioned to avoid feeling them. The dark night of the soul happens when all of your former coping mechanisms and addictions don't work for you anymore. And in spite of your best efforts to avoid pain, it still comes flooding to the surface. And notice I'm using the word flood. When we enter the dark night of the soul, our emotions don't trickle to the surface. They don't flow to the surface. They flood. There's an overwhelming barrage of emotions that are rising up so quickly that they can't be pushed back down. And most people who experience this sort of thing feel completely overwhelmed by their emotions and are in the worst pain of their lives, or at least the worst pain that they remember ever being in. My specialty is not really narcissistic abuse. It's helping people navigate through the dark night of the soul. When people come to me in the worst pain of their lives, unable to cope or function in the world, I help them to understand what's happening and give them tools on how to move through the pain. But when people come to me, the first thing that they're looking for me to help them to get out of pain. I used to believe when I first started doing this work that I wasn't very good at my job if I couldn't help people out of pain. I was looking for the magic methods or techniques I could use to pull people out of their pain, the same way I might pull someone out of a pond. I judged myself based on my ability to make people feel better. But after going through a dark night of the soul consciously myself, I realized that pain is something we need to learn how to move through rather than get out of. There's no magic pill that's going to get us out of pain. It is rising up so we can feel it and release it. If there are many layers of old repressed pain rising to the surface at once, you're going to be busy for a while. If you're going through such a thing, you might not be able to function in the world in the same way that you're used to. Some people come to me and say, "Kalia, I need to work. I have to function. I can't be like this. Help me." I will often compare their situation to being in a hit-and-run car accident and being in critical condition in the hospital. I paint a picture for them. You're lying in a hospital bed. You have multiple fractures. Your arms and legs are in a cast. Your head's in a bandage, and you're hooked up to an IV. And the first thing on your mind is, "I have to get back to work. I can't afford to be here." Unfortunately, the dark night of the soul doesn't really care about your obligations. Just as major accidents and illness doesn't care about your obligations. So you're going to have to make adjustments, whether or not you like it. The dark night isn't an emotional crisis, and it's going to require a lot of downtime to navigate through it. But it doesn't have to be a continual, dismal path. The dark night's both a death and a rebirth. It's a death of the old you, the one that spent an enormous amount of energy shoving that old pain down through the use of distractions and addictions. And the new you is the rebirth. It's the butterfly emerging from the cocoon, where it just underwent a dissolution of the caterpillar body and the formation of the new butterfly body. The dark night of the soul is a metamorphosis, and when you come out of the other end, you're not going to be the same as you were before you went in. Not everyone will go through a dark night of the soul. The dark night is a soul's calling to leave behind the old ways and search the deepest aspects of oneself so one can be more in alignment with the soul's purpose, with why you came here. Some people are so disconnected from their soul and their soul's purpose that they never will be called to such a dark night. There are many people whose addictions and distractions continue to work for them. They continue to stay medicated from their repressed pain and have absolutely no interest in personal or spiritual growth. Extreme narcissists fall into this category. What happens with extreme narcissists is that they're so emotionally detached from their pain that they're not aware how they project their shadow onto others. Whenever anyone triggers their pain and they feel it, even just a little bit, they lash out at the one triggering it and blame them for what they're feeling. They're so disconnected that they can't imagine that they themselves might be the cause of their problems. Projection is a human response and doesn't just belong to the narcissist of the world. However, narcissists are masters at projection. Every uncomfortable or painful thing that happens in their world is someone else's fault. They take no responsibility and are always blaming others. Narcissists basically deny their dark side so they can believe that they are good. There's a big investment in being seen as good, and since personality disordered people usually see the world through a lens of all good or all bad, there's no room for gray and no understanding that we are both bad and good, so to speak. Seeing the world through the lens of all good, all bad is common with dysfunctional family systems. When we're seen as bad, we are rejected and denied love, acceptance, and approval. As a young child, this can feel like a death. When a child hears a parent saying you're a bad girl or a bad boy, it's a rejection to that child. That child feels shamed, and it may feel that it's going to be abandoned because of its badness. So being bad is death to that child. How can I survive without mommy or daddy? Children have a need to be seen as good and receive attention, approval, acceptance, and love. So that child works really hard to be on its parent's good side. If a parent is abusive, the child will split the parent into good parent, bad parent. Since its survival depends on the child being accepted and loved, it rejects the bad parent so it can still love the good parent. It's ironic how those who are in relationship with narcissistic people and addicts do the same thing. They split the narcissist or addict into good person, bad person, so they can continue to be in love with that person. Oftentimes, in order to deny our own dark side, we find people who are darker to surround ourselves with. This way, in comparison, we can see ourselves as good and the other as bad. If we haven't faced our own dark side, we may not be able to be with people who are genuinely good people because we may feel bad or inadequate in comparison. When I say everybody has a dark side, I'm not saying everybody is dark or bad, but that we all live in a world, what we would consider both light and dark emotions, and we all have a full repertoire of these emotions. When we cut off from our darker emotions in order to see ourselves as good, we've cut off half of who we are. If we're to be authentic, we need to embrace both the light and the dark emotions. Remember, I said there are really no bad or dark emotions, but we perceive that there are So for the sake of explanation, I will call feelings like anger, rage, frustration, jealousy, sadness, guilt, shame, and despair, and other emotions like this, our darker emotions. I will call them dark because they are the emotions we don't like, we don't want, and we would do anything within our power to get rid of. When we try to get rid of these darker emotions, we try to cut off from them rather than to feel and embrace them. One might ask, why would I embrace these emotions? They don't feel good. We assume that life is always supposed to feel good. Well, this is the great lie. Life is a full spectrum of feelings, and as human beings living in a world of duality, we feel both hot and cold, light and dark, summer and winter, hungry and full, love and hatred, joy and pain. This is life, and the sooner we accept all of our emotions, including the ones that don't feel good, the sooner we become real, and the sooner we can have a greater acceptance of life itself. Most of you have probably heard the saying, what you resist persists. When you resist the dark side of life and the darker emotions, they seem to get stronger and stronger. We try and push them away, and they boomerang back stronger than ever. When we embrace all of our emotions, we open our arms to them and say, I accept that you are here, and I love you. Loving your darker emotions is the same as loving yourself when you're feeling pain or anger. You may have learned as a child that it's wrong or bad to express pain or anger. And you may have felt rejected for any qualities you learned were bad. And so you learned to reject yourself for any qualities that you learned were bad. The more you reject yourself, the worse you feel. You may end up feeling like you're walking a tightrope trying to stay good and avoid being bad. And your worst fear may be being perceived as a bad person. When I work with people who have been in relationship with narcissists, their worst fear is often that the narcissist is doing a smear campaign and telling everyone how bad they are. Their worst fear is that others will perceive them as bad and see the narcissist as good. Well, of course, this is what the narcissist wants because the narcissist's worst fear is also being perceived as bad. So he or she must manipulate everyone around them to believe that he or she is good and the other is bad. It's child's play, really. Both the narcissist and the one who's being targeted by the narcissist fear the same thing. We all fear being perceived as a bad person. Because if we're perceived as a bad person, we fear we will be rejected, abandoned, and unloved. We will feel our shame very deeply and may reject and abandon ourselves. And that's usually what we do. What makes the narcissist different from the average person is the coping mechanisms used to control his or her reality. The narcissist will easily use lies, manipulation, projection, and gaslighting to control how they are perceived. Although the average person may lie a little bit and manipulate sometimes, they just aren't good at it. Narcissists are masters of deception. They learn it at an early age and practice it like an art form. The average person is kept in line by something we call a guilty conscience. If we're aware that we are lying or manipulating, we feel guilty. Guilt is our moral barometer that informs us when we're doing something wrong or out of integrity. Narcissists lack a guilty conscience. They have no problem deceiving others as long as it meets their need to be seen as good, which in the mind of the narcissist will bring them the love, admiration, and approval they desperately need in order to feel okay. Embracing our dark side doesn't mean that we act out our aggressions and take our pain out on others. We need to practice responsibility and accountability. It's okay to feel rage, but not okay to be violent. It's okay to feel anger, but not okay to take your anger out on others. It's okay to feel jealousy, but it's not okay to eliminate the competition. If we can all recognize and accept that we have a dark side and feel dark emotions, we can learn how to embrace this aspect of ourselves, and this results in a much greater self-acceptance. This idea we have of ourselves that we should always be nice is really a warped idea. Being nice is extremely overrated. Nice is an exterior quality that may or may not accompany being honest, and honesty is a much more authentic quality. But most would rather lie to themselves and others rather than risk the rejection of being perceived as mean or bad. The average person is not good at setting boundaries, because setting boundaries involves risking rejection from the one you are setting a boundary with. Boundaries involve saying no and setting limits. And when you wish to be perceived as being nice all the time, you always invest yourself in the response that you believe will give you the most love and approval. We become masters at making excuses because we believe that excuses let us off the hook. We might say, I can't go with you because I'm not feeling well, rather than say, you know, I really don't want to do that. We might say, I have out of town guests that weekend, so it's not going to work for you to stay with me, rather than, no, I'm really not comfortable with your staying at my house this weekend. We might come up with all kinds of excuses why we can't go out with someone, rather than saying, I'm really not interested in dating you. Learning how to be honest is a real challenge, and yet being honest is what makes us authentic. The deeper truth is, the more real and authentic we are, the more people will genuinely like us and trust us. The more we lie to ourselves and others, the less authentic relationships we will have. Those who get involved with narcissists are distraught when they realize they've been living a lie. But the lie is usually on both sides of the coin. The narcissist may be a pathological liar, but the one who keeps ignoring his or her intuition in order to stay in the relationship is creating their own lie. You may say, I don't want to face the truth because it will hurt, and I don't want to feel the pain. But if you keep lying to yourself, the pain will get stronger and stronger. The truth will eventually set us free, but it may disassemble our reality first. Because it's the truth that exposes the lie, and it's the lie that really hurts. It's the lie that hurts, not the truth, just the same as it is the lack of love that hurts, not the love. Confronting our own dark side means being honest with what we're feeling and learning to embrace all of our emotions. It means loving and accepting the child within who feels he or she is bad. We have to learn to say to our inner child, it's okay that you feel that way, and I love you anyway. We learn to say, I love you and I approve of you no matter what. We have to stop rejecting ourselves, and we have to stop abandoning ourselves when we are in pain. We have to stop making our pain wrong and judging our feelings as right or wrong. We need to learn to welcome all of our feelings, both the ones we judge as being good and the ones we judge as being bad. All feelings are welcome here. We need to learn to embrace our dark side and learn to love it. We need to learn to stop fearing the judgments, opinions, and projections of others. These things say a lot more about the one that's judging and projecting than it does about you. We need to truly learn to be our own best friend and the best parent ever to our inner children. We need to stop shaming and guilting ourselves and remind our inner children, you are good, regardless of what you're feeling. regardless of what kind of day you're having or what mistakes that you've made. Your dark side is beautiful. It's precious. It's what makes you whole. Embracing your dark side may very well be the wholeness that you're seeking. Your wholeness is not to be found in another person, but in embracing the part of yourself that you've cut off from. Your other half is not a person. It's the part of you that you have rejected. Practice acceptance of your own dark side, and you'll find that you much more easily accept the dark side of others. The more you stop expecting yourself to be perfect, the more you stop expecting everyone else to be perfect. The more you practice self-acceptance, the more you accept others. Love all that you are. Embrace all of you. Be your real self. Be true to yourself. Do this and you'll discover that you no longer have to run away from yourself and find fault with yourself. You'll finally have the peace that you've been seeking all along. Thank you for listening and have a great day.